What do you expect me to do? That's a right-on question, man. You listen to what Valen just said. That was his testimony. His job is in the nightlife. He's a Christian. But he finds himself in two different circles, but it's in the center area that you really get a little confused. What am I supposed to do? What do you expect me to do, God, when I'm in these two different spheres of arenas? The marketplace. You know, the marketplace is a very focal point of our lives today. In the industrialization age, we no longer, work in the fields. We are in the marketplace. We are in the office arena. It's become such a focal point of our lives today that it becomes a part of our conversation. You don't realize it. But if you, see somebody that you don't know, that you've never seen before, local style, what do we ask? The very first question we ask when we want to get to know this guy is what? Hey, what high school are you in? Yeah? We always ask that question. But if it's somebody that we know and we haven't seen for a long time, what question do we then ask? So what are you doing nowadays? Where do you work? The marketplace is such a focal point of our lives. Maybe it's because we spend a lot of time there. You know, if someone did a calculation, if you worked from 16 years old to 65 years old, and you did an average 40 hours a work week, you would have spent over 100,000 hours in the marketplace. That's over 66% of your time in the marketplace. And maybe God is saying, that is a prime opportunity for you to be the real church in the real world, because we spend so much time there. But that's where the conflict happens for Christians, because it's in the marketplace that we face the toughest temptations, where our values get all skewed out of whack because it's inconsistent with what we learn in church, where our belief systems gets questioned, where people look at us a little differently because we're Christians in this marketplace. See, it's in the marketplace that everything that we gain on Sunday takes a back seat when we face the realities of life on Monday. In the marketplace. Wouldn't it be cool if when you become a Christian, when you say yes to Jesus Christ and be my Lord and Savior, that you get snapped up and you get placed in a Christian gated community. Wouldn't that be cool? And you live next door to other Christians, and the ones across the street are Christians, and they invite you to their barbecues on the Christian roads, and every street is named like the book of James or book of Hebrews. And you live in this Christian community, and you go shopping in the Christian shopping malls. You work for a Christian company, the boss is Christian, the legislature is Christian, they pass all Christian laws. Wouldn't that be cool if we lived in this gated community? But God says, that's not where I want you. That's not where I want you. John 17 says this. Would you open up your notes? Let's take a look at what John 17 is. He tells us exactly where he wants us to be. Read that with me. Ready? Go. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. You know, I read that scripture, and I thought, Lord, wait a minute. You're sending me into the world. You're telling me that I need to be in the world, but not of the world. Why are you sending me into this world where people are going to hate me? Where when they know that I'm a Christian, I get treated a little bit differently. Why don't you just take me out of that world? How many of you have had times in your life where you thought, man, Lord, just get me out of this situation. Just pull me. Just take me home now, God. But God says, notice Jesus is praying to his Father. He says, no, don't take them out of the world. Keep them in there. You sent me into the world, so Lord, I'm going to send them into the world. There's a reason why we need to be in the world. God has a couple of desires on his heart. They weigh very heavily on his heart. One is that we go and tell. He needs us to be able to go into the world and tell others about him. God also wants us to develop our Christian character, to become more like Jesus Christ. He wants us to grow from glory to glory into his image. He wants us to learn all about the characteristics of Jesus. Well, what are those characteristics? They're the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5 says, fruits of the Spirit is love, peace, patience, kindness, all those that he lists there. And where are we going to best learn those fruits? In an environment that is completely opposite of them. He says, if you want to learn love, it's easy to love those who love you. But you know where you're going to learn love? In an office environment full of jerks. Where you need to learn how to love them unconditionally. You need to learn how to love them without reservations. You want to learn about patience? He's going to give you a very, very impatient boss that you need to learn to be patient with. You want to learn peace? He's going to place you in an office that is full of chaos. You want to learn joy, the inner joy that he wants you to grab onto? He's going to give you frustrations and disappointments. He's going to give you circumstances where you're going to have to learn that the inner joy that you attain is not dependent on circumstances. That's why he puts us out there. That's why he says you need to be in the world, but don't be of the world. In other words, if you're going to share my word with those who are out there, if you're going to gain the characteristics of Jesus Christ in your heart, then you cannot lose focus. I'm going to give you three questions I want you to ask yourself. Three questions that are going to help you to keep yourselves focused. The first one is this. Who are you? We live in a crooked and perverse generation. And it's so easy to lose focus of who we are. And many times, if we're not careful, we lose focus of whose we are.
Heavenly Father, fill me with your loving grace as I start my day. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and help me to be a witness for you in my workplace today.
Help me to remember that I serve you, my one true master.
Lord, help me to remember that I may be the only Jesus people meet today.
In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hello? Yes, good morning. This is Lee's Catering. Yes. Oh, yes, we cater for funerals. Certainly. The 27th? Well, let me check that date. Oh, I'm so sorry. We already have a previous engagement that day. Yes, we do. I'm truly sorry. Oh, 1,000 guests? I tell you what. Let me just have about 5 minutes. I will call the other party just to confirm and double check to make sure we're still on, and I'll call you right back. Your number is? And your name is Bill. All right, Bill, I'll call you back in about 5 minutes. Thanks so much. Alex!
Yeah, Mom.
Ooh, Alex, do me a favor, call this and cancel that, will you, for me, please?
The Cam's wedding? This is next week. Can they pay half of it already?
I know. And we'll give them their money back. Just tell them we're going to close for a family emergency.
What family emergency?
Alex, just do as I say, dear. Otherwise, we're going to lose a much bigger customer. There's a funeral next weekend for 1,000 people.
So you're just going to ditch these people a week before their wedding? That's pretty screwed up, Mom.
Alex, theirs is only for 100 people. They can easily find a backup. In fact, why don't you refer them to Malama Catering just right down the street?
Oh, yes. Oh, you're too kind.
Alex, go now and call. Oh, and Alex, by the way, do me a favor, call three of your friends and set them up for next week. We're going to need extra hands. We're going to be so busy.
My friends again, Mom, why don't you know, just hire real chefs or pay our guys overtime?
Alex, you just don't understand business. I can pay your friends $50 cash for the whole day, feed them, they're happy, I'm happy, everybody's happy.
Except Uncle Sam.
Bill, this is Diane from Lee's Catering. Yes, we spoke a few moments ago. Well, I have news. You'll be so surprised. I checked with the other party and they canceled on us. Imagine that. Yes, so we can do your event. Okay, that's for 1,000 people, correct? Yes. Thank you so much.
Who are you? Who are you and whose are you? We can get so caught up in the stuff of business, the stuff of life, that we forget our identity. Read with me what Paul reminds us of in Ephesians 2. Who are we? Let's read this together. Ready? Go. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. You know what he's saying there? Paul is saying, you're an extension of Christ. You're not who you are. You're not just who do, and you don't just get to do what you want to do. You are an extension of Christ. You know, it's so easy on Sundays for us to worship the Lord and say, yeah, we're Christians. And then come Monday, we allow our circumstances, we allow our business, we allow our friends, our peers to redefine us and give us a brand new identity. And the Lord says, no. On Sunday, worship. Yeah, worship me with all your heart. Come Monday, worship me with all your hearts. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you do what I would do. Think the ways that I would think. Feel and make decisions the way that I would make these decisions, because you are a reflection of me. We allow the world to redefine us, huh? The Lord says there's a reason for that. There's a reason for you to extend yourself, be an extension of my heart. It's this. Let's read together what Titus says. Ready? Go. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. Underline that phrase, make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. You see, folks, when we start to handle things our way, and we make decisions on our own, and we forget our identity, you know what we do to the gospel, the good news? We turn it into bad news. We mess everything up. But the Lord says, no, this is good news, and I want you to take good news to the world, but you got to remember who you are. Other question is this, who's your boss? Who are you being held accountable to, or who holds you accountable? In today's world, there's a disease that is rapidly spreading, and that disease is a lack of accountability. It's happening all over the place. That's what melted Wall Street down. That's what imploded these businesses. There were just no accountability to anyone. And it's catching on, and Christians are not immune from it. Especially when we line up the gods, and our God Almighty just becomes one of other gods. What other gods? Well, the gods of money, the gods of success, the gods of me. Which God am I going to serve today? Or put it another way, which God is going to serve me today? If I'm not getting a response from the God Almighty, then I'm going to pursue it through some other God that I create. It happened in the Old Testament. Book of 1 Kings is a prophet named Elijah. And he looked at the nation of Israel. They worshiped the one God, but they also began to create other gods because this one God wasn't enough for them. They weren't getting any responses from this God Almighty. So they created a god called Baal, an Asherah. And Elijah came on the scene and he said, you guys are a bunch of fools. That's not a god. You can't do anything. In fact, let's do a little dare thing. I dare you to build an altar to your god Baal, and I dare you to call upon heaven to consume his altar with his flames or whatever power he has. And so, 400 prophets of Baal, 450 prophets of Asherah, they built this big old temple or altar, and they cried out, oh, Baal, rain down your power and consume this altar. And nothing was happening. And the prophets would stand there and just start cutting themselves. Oh, Baal, pour down your power. And nothing happened. And Elijah says, what did I tell you? All right, build this altar. So they built an altar unto the God Almighty. And he says, you know what we'll do? We'll make it a little bit more difficult. So pour some water on this altar. In fact, pour plenty of water, choke water all over the altar. And Elijah cried out. He says, oh God Almighty, would you rain down upon this altar and consume it? And in an instant, that altar was completely consumed with fire. And so Elijah turned to them and he said this, 1 Kings 18, Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. See, we got to be accountable to someone. There needs to be a sense of accountability. We can't jump from one God to the next, to the next, to the next. There is a God developing in our culture today, a brand new one. He's giving people all the freedom they want. He's giving them everything that they could ever ask for. You know what that God is called? The God of whatever. Yeah, it's catching on in the community. You listen to who they're worshiping. It's the God of whatever. The God of whatever would want you to do whatever. The God of whatever would want you to praise whatever. He will give you the freedom. His grace, this God of whatever, will free you from commitments and responsibilities. He loves it when people do whatever. You know this God of whatever? He teaches us that when the cat's away, you do whatever.
Oh, no. Hey, Eddie. Yeah, I just saw your Facebook post.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. Hey, I got to post some pictures, too, so check back in like 3 minutes. Yeah, okay. Bye.
Back from lunch, Dave?
Yes, sir. Just got back. I was just typing up this week's sales report.
Oh, great. You know, I'm going to take my lunch break now. Meeting clients, so I should be back in a couple hours.
Oh, well, enjoy your lunch, sir. The weather's beautiful outside.
Oh, thanks, Dave.
Hey, what's up, honey bunny? Yeah. Oh, I just got back from lunch. My boss, he's not around. He likes to take two-hour lunch breaks. Yeah.
Oh, Dave, I forgot to ask you.
Yes, Miss Jennings, right away. I'll email you that document as soon as possible. Okay. Bye-bye. Back so soon, sir.
Oh, yeah, sorry. You know, I just wanted to see if you had a chance to mail that invoice out to San Jose.
Ah, the San Jose invoice. Got it right here, sir. I was going to mail that this afternoon.
Is there any way you could maybe do it now? I really want to make sure they get it by Wednesday.
Will do, sir.
Thanks, Dave.
Hey, sweetie pie. Yeah, that was my boss. Sorry about that.
Hey, there's a box of new office supplies.
Need me to bring anything home? Yeah. I got paper clips, pencils, notepads. Okay, no problem. Hey, I got to go step out to the post office and mail a document. You got time to step out for a few minutes? I haven't had my coffee yet. Okay. Yeah, my boss won't be back until this afternoon. Okay. Well, I'll call you when I get there. Okay. Bye-bye.
God of whatever. You'll find them all over the place. And they're easy to spot, those who worship this God of whatever's, because they'll kind of like look at things in life and, you know, if it's free, you kind of just take it. But this, I don't want to do that. I'm in church, you know, you can't do that stuff. But the ones who worship this God of whatever's, you'll see them all over. You know who they are? They're the ones who don't keep commitments and promises. They're the reason why the divorce rate is skyrocketing. Those who worship this God of whatever's, they're the ones who airlines will overbook 30% reservations. You know why? Because there's 30% of people in life who make reservations and they cancel, but they don't tell the airlines. They never pay for it. These people who worship the God of whatever. You know who they are? They're the ones who will stay up all night long and party hardy. They're Christians. And they'll call in sick the next morning. Why do they do it? Because the God of whatever's allows you to live life without accountability. There are no consequences. That's not who we are. Paul reminds us in Colossians 3. Would you read that with me? It's in your notes. Ready? What we should be doing. Ready? Go. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you are working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you're serving is Christ. But if you do what is wrong, you will be paid back for the wrong you have done, for God has no favorites. You know what this tells me? In fact, would you underline that phrase, the master you are serving is Christ? It's telling me is this. It's telling me that we have a responsibility to our bosses. Oh, you might say, my boss. You don't know, my boss is really an idiot. Yeah, he just doesn't run the company correct. If that's your boss, change bosses. Allow Christ to be your boss. It is Christ who we serve. And you do everything as if unto your real boss, Jesus Christ. But it's also telling me that if we don't carry out our responsibilities here, there will be consequences. We may think we'll get away with it here or there, but the Lord has no favorites. Even though you're a Christian, even though we come to church every Sunday, there will be consequences down the line. You know, my son Jared, he's 8 years old. He's developing a new worship for a new God. You know this God? His God is called the God of Anokale. I said, Jared, pick up stuff in your room. Why? Because I want your room to be clean. I don't care. No. You pick it up. Jared, do your homework. Why? Because you need to get good grades. You want to play baseball later on in college. Then you need to start studying now. Well, I don't care. I said, Jared, we're going to kill this God of I don't care. All right? We're going to kill it right now. So you do your homework. And no more lying about stuff. All right? Well, we get a call from the teacher. Parents, you know what that means, yeah? We find out that he didn't do his homework. There was a project that was due. He didn't do it. So I said, Jared, why didn't you do it? He said, because it's not on my list. I said, what do you mean it's not on your list? Let me see that. He wrote it in there, but he also erased it. He figured if he can erase it, it doesn't exist anymore, so I don't have to do my homework. This kid can't even lie correctly, you know? And so I said, that was a homework you should have done. Now quit lying. The next time you lie, the stick is going to come out. Sorry, but I believe in you spare the rod, you spoil the child. The stick's going to come out. I'm not going to even talk about the stick. It's going to come out. You will lose privileges. You cannot go baseball. You cannot come to the church and run around crazy. These are all privileges. And you're going to have to earn these privileges, all right? So playing baseball is 5 points. How are you going to earn it? Do your chores, 1 point. Wash the dishes, 1 point. And you're going to have to earn this. Well, he did it. In fact, I said, Jared, if you lie again, I'm going to take you to baseball, but you can't play. You're going to just sit there while everyone else is playing. Well, he was good. He earned like 23 points until 1 week went by, and we get a call from the counselor in school. He lied again. So I get home. And he's sitting on the sofa with Joy, his mom, and he's reading the book really nicely to her. And I said, come on, Jared, get your baseball stuff. We're going to go to baseball. So he looks at me, and he comes walking towards me. I grab him by the arm. Stick came out. Bang, bang, bang. I said, is that enough for you? He starts looking at me. He starts crying. I bang, bang, bang. I said, all right, grab your stuff. Let's go. We get in the car, go to baseball practice. I said, leave your stuff in the car. You're going to sit there while they all practice. Coach comes by, I tell him what happened. He talks to Jared. Jared's crying. Other kids come by, Jared, so what happened? He starts crying. Now, practice is really good. They got all these stations, and the kids are having all this fun, but he has to just sit there. End of practice, the coach says, Jared, come here. So he runs over. He's feeling really good. They all get together. They do their team cheer, and one of the players had a birthday that day. So the parents brought pizza and birthday cake and ice cream and soda, and he stands there, and he runs over, and he gets one of those handy wipes to wipe his hand. I looked at him, and I went, mm-mm-mm. And he's crying. But, you know, it hurt me more than it did him. Nah, you know, it didn't hurt me. He deserved it. I told him. But why did I do that to him? Because I hate my kid? No, it's because he needs to understand their consequences. That you can get away with things only for so long, but sooner or later it will catch up to you. And the Lord says that to us. Even though we're Christians, there has to be consequences. You know, sometimes folks in life, we try to get away with stuff, and we say, well, you know, this God that we have, that's not good enough, so I'm just going to do whatever. No. Oh, I don't care then. Well, no. Which God is your boss? If God Almighty is your boss, then take responsibilities, even in the workplace, to do everything you can in word or deed as if you're doing it unto the Lord. Who's your boss? Here's a third question. What's your objective? In your work environment, where you are, wherever God has placed you, what's your objective? See, we are to be in the world, but not of the world. We're to be in the world and understand what's going on around us, but not be consumed by the success of the world. We can get that confused many times. Where we want to play up to and we want to achieve the American dream. Education, good job, get a good house so we can make plenty of money and get promoted and get another raise and then get the corner office. And if we can attain all those things, man, that'd be great, yeah? That's what God wants for my life. All of this stuff, and we get consumed by the American dream and we lose sight of God's objective for us being where we are. See, the problem is that when we pursue the world's objective of success and we don't attain it, we feel like we're failures. We feel frustrated. And so we will do everything we can to get what we think the world should give us.
Hey, Chris, guess what? You are talking to the new director of sales. Ah, I got the promotion. Oh, this is wonderful. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Oh, this is just the beginning. Oh, this is the year. No, this is my year. Ah. What was that? What happened? Oh, remember that boss I was always complaining about? Yeah, he is that bad. Well, I'm just so glad I'm not reporting to him anymore. What? Oh, yeah, of course he gave me the position to start with. I mean, the sales position, but you know what? I should have been promoted a long time ago. I made that man look good. He had it coming. Well, you know what? It doesn't matter because he's out and I'm in now. What'd I do? Well, I went in to talk to the president of the company and I said, you know what? This guy is terrible. Yep, and if I continue to have to report to this guy, I'm leaving. Yeah, that's what I told him. Okay, well, I may have stretched the truth just a little bit. Just told him the really bad stuff. Faked a tear here and there. But that's okay, right? I mean, most of it was true. And the president loves me, so. Hey, you know what? This is a dog-eat-dog world. If somebody wants to get up the ladder, somebody's got to come down, right? But look at the results. I am the first female sales director in the entire company's history. I mean, that's huge. The rest of the department? Well, my boss got transferred and everybody else got reshuffled, but I don't care about them. Oh. All right, I should care about them. Hey, but you know what? We gotta celebrate tonight. Well, of course I'm coming to small group. I got to tell everybody about my great news, right? All right. Yeah, praise God for the promotion. Yeah.
You know, nothing wrong with promotions. Nothing wrong with pay raises. Nothing wrong with advancing in a company. The danger is when we allow those objectives to overshadow why God has us where He has us. When we want to do everything we can to push through and be the same as this American dream that everyone else is attaining. That's the problem. Because when we don't attain it, we grumble about it. We get frustrated about it. But look at what God says. Let's read together Philippians. Ready? Go. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent. Children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights of the world. What's God's objective for us, wherever we find ourselves? What's God's objective? To be the light in this crooked and perverse work environment, in this crooked and perverse generation, in your class, in your school. That's why He has us where we are. You're not just a janitor. You're not just a secretary. You're not just, you know, an office worker or a construction worker. You are there to be a light in that community. It's not about necessarily earning more money. If God opens a door, great. But don't let that overshadow why God has you where you are. How many of you would say that God loves school teachers? Yeah? You agree with that? Yeah. So God will take a missionary, will dress him up as a school teacher, and put that person in a school so she or he can be a light for other students, for other teachers, so they can see their way towards God. You believe that God loves construction workers? Believe that? Yeah, so God will take a missionary and put on that person, you know, those bright green shirts, and the pants that go only like halfway down here, and he'll allow like hairs to grow on their knuckles and come out of their ears so they can be a light in the construction industry. So other construction workers who are trying to find their way to Christ, they can see their way through this missionary. All right, here's a hard one. How many of you believe that God loves paquets? You believe that? Yeah, God does. So he'll take a missionary, dress him up like a paquet, and put him in like a bank or someplace. Not too much money over there, yeah? But he'll put him in a situation where he can reach others, like lawyers, or, you know, he can... A lot of Chinese guys are chefs in Italian restaurants. He'll put them in there so they can be a light for those who are trying to find their way to Christ. See, God has placed us wherever we are for a reason. There's his objective, and we cannot allow the world's objectives and definitions of success to overshadow that. Let's read together. Here's a last scripture for you. It's not in your notes. It's going to come up here on PowerPoint. Would you read this with me? Ready? Go. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. You know whose feet they are? They belong to you. Those feet belong to all of us. And God is saying, can I send you so you can go and tell? So you can begin to grow on the inside, but don't lose focus. Don't forget who you are. Don't forget who your boss is. And the objective in life is to shine that light in this crooked and perverse generation. You know, folks, I think if we do that, and we be those lights in our marketplace, in the community here, this church can change the world. Can we do that together? Amen? Amen. Let me pray for you. Father God, thank you, Lord, for indeed being the one who began all that for us, where you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die for our sins. But through the power of the resurrection, allowed him to now leave that tomb and to sit at your right hand, Father. That is a power that we need to plug ourselves into. And only then can our lights shine brightly. Too many times, Lord, we've plugged ourselves into the wrong source, haven't we? And we wonder why our lives don't shine as much as it should. But today, Father, we're reminded of who you're asking us to be. Not necessarily the things that we need to do or the preaching that we have to engage in with our co-workers. Father, help us to just be, to be a light, to be a friend, to be someone who will love the unlovable, to be patient with those who demand patience from us. It all starts with us remembering who we are. Thank you, Lord, for guiding us along the way. How many of you are here this morning and would say, you know, I want to be a light in my workplace or my family or with my friends, but I don't know where to start. It starts with you being plugged into Jesus Christ. And if you have not yet given your life to Christ, let's start today. Let me encourage you to make one decision today. And that's to allow him to be indeed your Lord and Savior. Someone who will never leave you. Someone who will encourage you every step of the way. If that's you this morning and you're saying, you know, I want to change life, man. I've been plugged into the wrong things. But I believe that Jesus Christ can be my Savior. Would you come into my heart? If that's you, would you raise a hand right now? No one's looking around. Yeah, right here, sister. Anyone else back there? Good. Yeah, let the Lord see your hearts. Anyone else here? Front here? Yeah. Anyone else on the sides? Keep your hands up so the Lord can see your hearts. Yeah. It's good. Okay, you can put your hands down. How many of you would say, you know, in my workplace, I need to shine a little bit brighter? Lord, help me to do so. I've taken for granted some things, but now I know your assignment. Father, help me to be a light in a darkened world. If that's you, would you raise a hand? You're saying, yeah, that's me. Yeah, a lot of us go through that. You can put your hands down. If you just said yes to Jesus for the first time, we have a yes packet available for you. It's completely free with a Bible in there and some material that's going to help you to understand your relationship that you're going to start with Him. Outside, we have counselors holding up this yes packet. Go up to them and tell them of the decision you just made. We want to celebrate this day with you. Before we leave, can we say this prayer together? I'll say the prayer. Would you repeat it with all your hearts? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Dear Jesus, thank you that you came and died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. Help me to be a light in my community. Thank you for placing me in a darkened world. Help me to shine your light brightly as an image of you. And now I say this so I can hear myself, so those around can hear, so you can hear me, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Lord and Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name. Father, that's our prayer. Thank you, Lord, for sending us out. May we indeed shine you brightly in the world that we live in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you welcome these who said yes for the first time?